This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, Hour 2 on a Friday. Good to have you with us as we continue our coverage of the NCAA tournament. Got a couple of other news and notes for you. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. So, you know, last week I was saying that we are still amazed as a sports culture when we see upsets in the NCAA tournament in the first round, right? When a 15 beats a 2, a 16 beats a 1, a 14 beats a 3, or even 12-5 still catch our eye. And I think a lot of it is to just be, that's just part of sports, right? We expect something, and then when the unexpected happens, we kind of go, yeah, look at that. And on the flip side of that, as I mentioned earlier, there's these two things that you, as sports fans in the NCAA tournament, that we're dealing with. And one is the fact that upsets happen all the time, and they happen so consistently that it's so not new, and yet we treat them as new. And so the term Cinderella is never going to go away. Even if you are going to get more 15s over 2s and more 14s over 3s, because the term still applies. To beat one of the top teams in college basketball is an accomplishment. And when you do so in a surprising fashion, it's unexpected, right? And so the term Cinderella is not going anywhere. That's just the label we're going to put on teams that surprise us in the tournament. If Princeton wins tonight and beats Creighton, which is, you know, could happen because Princeton's playing some good basketball right now. But nevertheless, if that happens, Princeton will wear that Cinderella. And here's the thing. It seems like a term nobody wants. Because it almost feels like if you accept it, you are admitting that you never belonged in the first place. Right? What's the story of Cinderella? She's scrubbing floors. Nobody knows she exists. She lives with her evil stepmother. There's a ball. The grand prince is going to have a ball. And all the women get to go. Well, except the ones that are scrubbing floors and are dirty. They don't get to go. So when they get to go with a fairy godmother, they get to showcase themselves on the highest stage, right? And that's what the story of Cinderella is about. She was in a glamorous gown and glass slippers and caught the attention of the prince, etc. Classic fairy tale. But nobody wants to be that person, because they don't want to admit that they ever scrubbed floors in the first place, right? To just kind of continue with the analogy. If you're a coach of a basketball team that gets to the Elite Eight, no matter what the number is next to you, you never want to embrace the Cinderella label, because you want to kind of remind people that your team deserved to be here, deserves the attention, deserves the expectation of this kind of run. When most of the sports world will go, good, I'm glad you believe that, but we know the truth. If Princeton wins tonight, for example, maybe they'll embrace it, maybe. But in all likelihood, you'll be hearing about how we believed in ourselves all along. We knew we could play on the big stage. We knew we could do this. And that's, as I said many times, it's the one arsenal that coaches have to go to their team at the start of this tournament and say, do you think you're better or worse than all of these teams that have pulled off upsets in the history of this tournament? Because if you think you're the worst team to have ever entered this tournament, then we really don't belong here. But if you think you're at least as good as any of these teams, well, then guess what? We can go out there and win that basketball game. So Florida Atlantic is a perfect example of this. Here's a team that won 31 games during the regular season. 31. And then you just add three more to that in this tournament. They won Conference USA. They beat Florida earlier in the season, an SEC school. They're building something down in Boca. Dusty May has got his team fired up. They won't embrace the Cinderella label. Now, again, it's a 9 seed. It's not like it's a 12. It's not like it's a 13 that's making a run here. It's a 9. But they're doing so and doing it in a way that sort of says the reason we don't want the Cinderella label is because it almost disrespects everything we did to get to this point. But the reality of it is surprising. I'm sorry. It is. Here's the thing. The path for Florida Atlantic was beat Memphis. Very tough school. They did. Then it was, but that was an 8-9 matchup. Then beat Purdue. Oops, you didn't have to play Purdue. Oh, all right. Who do you get to play? Fairleigh Dickinson, the 16 seed that pulled off the upset. And again, a team that didn't win their conference tournament. So last night was the test. Last night was the test. Because Florida Atlantic went into this tournament, again, with 31 wins, winning Conference USA, a mid-major, but not one of the Power Six. And their path to get to the Sweet 16 consisted of winning an evenly matched game, at least metric-wise by the committee, and then beating the 16 seed that pulled off one of the greatest upsets in tournament history. And as we know, as we see in the past, a lot of times you cannot replicate that, and a lot of the teams that pull off the big upset in round one, they don't have the gas in round two. It's a story as old as time in this tournament. That's why we actually appreciate a team like Princeton when they beat Arizona and then go, hey, looky, they're in the, hey, they made it. They actually carried the momentum into the Sweet 16. Florida Gulf Coast, as we mentioned before, St. Peter's, Oral Roberts, schools like that that go, hey, we're not just one and out. You know, like we're not one win and then we're out. We actually will continue to win some games in this thing. So Florida Atlantic had that test last night against Tennessee. And people in Tennessee, here where I live, woke up this morning and they're processing this loss to a good Owls team, but they're not necessarily giving the Owls the kind of respect where you would say, you know, we went up against a better team. They know Florida Atlantic wasn't the better team, but they also know it was a really good team. And it was a team that when you have a lead on, you better figure out a way to increase it and increase it and increase it. And don't rest on your laurels. And that's what Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers did not do last night. That's what they did not do. They sorry about that. Let me get rid of that. Who calls me during the radio show, right?
I don't know.
Especially during my monologue. That was my fault. I hate that. But I get distracted, and then I go, oh, who is – and then I look at it. Instead of just turning it off, I go, like, I'm going to take the call during the middle during the middle of the thing. Oh, yeah, hold on one second.
Hey, hold on. Let me –
this is my train of thought. Hold on.
Let me answer the spam real quick.
Let me answer this. It's my sister, so I don't know if it's an emergency or not. It could be. I don't know.
Well, if she calls again, go ahead and take the call.
If she calls me again, I may have to take the call.
And you got to put it on air.
Yeah, so, right, exactly.
You got to go, hey, Sis Live, you're on air.
Yeah, exactly. So, who knows. But anyway, back to my point. Dusty May doesn't want to embrace Cinderella at all. Like, not at all.
And I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
I mean, that's not, you know, there was a good point made last night that I think Clark Kellogg or Kenny Smith had made. And that was that Florida Atlantic's won 30 games, 30-plus games.
Yeah.
So there's a culture of winning with this team.
Okay.
You know,
there is. They were 10-1.
That there's a habit of winning with this team. That this team just, you know, they don't, I mean, what, I think they're like 31-3 or 32-3 or.
They were 31-3 during the regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're 10-1 in games within 5 points.
So, you know, there's this is what they do. This is what they're used to. This is how they play. And if you embrace Cinderella, it's almost like saying, like, yeah, we're not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, if you embrace Cinderella, you are saying that you're not the different person at the ball, right? Because, again, it works. The analogy works because of the story of Cinderella.
Yes.
It works because it's the outlier to what is at the ball, right? The outlier is there's all these women. They're all vying for the prince. They all come from nobility. here's the outlier of it all. Here's the one that doesn't belong. But she has the best gown and she has the glass slipper and she's catching the attention.
Yep.
You want, as a coach, you want to say, we would have gotten an invite. Right? We would have, like, if you were to make the analogy, we're a team that would have been one of the noble girls that would have gotten an invite. The expectation is we would have been at something like that.
If this was Fairleigh Dickinson, there's no truer team to ever be Cinderella.
Of course. Without question. Without question.
If Fairleigh Dickinson was heading up against Kansas State tomorrow, we would sit there and go, you weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah. And I agree. Like Florida Atlantic, if they go to the Final Four, they're going to hear that constantly. Yeah. Unless, of course, Princeton is there. Right? Like, if Princeton is like, no, we got it.
Those two
that's
can't
ours.
Face. No, they're different. No,
they got a, they're,
are they Florida different Atlantic, sides?
No, Florida Atlantic needs to just beat Kansas State.
Right. No, I'm saying in the Final Four.
Oh, no. When they get to the Final Four.
If they already get to the Final Four.
Okay, so what I'm saying is when you get down to the four teams and they all show up to Houston,
yeah.
If Princeton is there, they get the label. But if they're not there, they're going to give it to Florida Atlantic.
No, I know. But what I was saying is that are they on the same side?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
Because that would be phenomenal.
That would be awesome if they could.
Fantastic.
Well, first of all.
Yeah, no, it would be. No. Yeah, it would. Princeton. Yeah, the South faces the East.
All right, so...
So Princeton would have to get by Creighton, then they'd have to get by Alabama.
Then they got by Alabama or San Diego State. That's, if they did that... All right, yeah. Cinderella. Is there another term we could use? Besides Cinderella? Because at least Cinderella was a woman. Right, at the ball? I mean, my goodness. Like, this would be like if the ball had, like, a gecko.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb on your Friday. We're going to send you into the weekend right with all of these basketball games and a little match play golf and, I don't know, some NASCAR, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, let's get the good of the day.
Good of the day. This one might need to be explored later on.
Okay.
You know, it may not be today because we still have a lot of basketball to get to, but we might have to explore at some point next week. Because that was because Notre Dame's president, John Jenkins, and athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, are calling for the NFL to establish minor leagues. And they're also asking the NBA to abolish the one-and-done rule.
Okay, the second thing I could see happening,
the first one is not happening. The reason why is because Notre Dame is quickly finding out that they can't compete with the NIL rules or the NIL changes to college football. And so what they're
Saying that they can't compete because they're just not competitive, like economically, like there's no boosters doing it? Or are they saying we have sort of guidelines in our university that are problematic?
I think it's a mixture of both.
Okay.
You know, or just the fact that, you know, they don't know what to do about it or how to handle it.
Can't believe Notre Dame fans can't muster up a collective. Like they have fan bases around the world. They have alumni around the world. They can't muster up a $10 million little NIL collective.
I mean, it's one of the most recognizable brands in all of college sports.
Exactly. I know, right? Like, it's crazy. All right, the second part, it makes sense. People have been asking the NBA to do this for a while. The college basketball has asked it. I think people have sort of – there's been over the years, people have sort of misinterpreted the one-and-done rule. Some people think it's college basketball. They say college basketball should get rid of one-and-done. And I go, how? Well, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything with it. The one and done was created because the NBA was starting to find that the transition from high school to the NBA was too big of a leap for young people to take in, right? So they were the ones that said you have to be 1 year removed from graduation, and college basketball ended up with these athletes going, there's nothing else to do, might as well play college basketball.
You may play 1 year,
and you can't sign them to a contract. You can't tell them they have to guarantee that you can't. They're like any other college student,
right?
How many people have you ever met where it's like, I only went to 1 year at State and then I left. They're like any other college kid. So there's nothing you can do. And the moment a school puts a kid to a contract, that's getting ripped up immediately. No, they are not employees. No, no. We're not doing that. So there's nothing they can do. But the second one, okay, I resist saying hell freezes over because I was wrong on so many things. Like, I thought I'd never see a college football playoff, and we did.
In NFL minor leagues?
Yeah, right? But hell, you'll be snow shoveling in Hades by the before the NFL builds a minor league of their own.
But, okay. Would an NFL owner, would Jerry Jones go, you know what? Hey, a Cowboys AAA team based in San Antonio? I could get behind that.
There might be a few owners willing to do that, but if you're going to ask owners, look, the owners don't want to give Lamar Jackson a guaranteed contract.
Right. Oh, we'll get to him in a bit.
Right?
By the way.
Are they going to put $500 million into an elaborate minor league system that they don't need?
True. Because college already does it for them.
Right. They don't need
it. I can see it that way, too.
They're not sitting back going, darn, if we had a minor league system. Like, yeah, you can make money off of it, but it's not.
You know what will change their mind?
It's not economic.
If they start to see the success, like if the XFL or the USFL starts to really, really show success, I think that might change their mind.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I
can see the NFL going, you know what? Maybe we'll do this in the spring. I don't know.
Okay, here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. And we might end up going long, but that's okay.
Because that's why I said this one might be a segment by itself. We might have to revisit it.
So what you would be planning on if you had a minor league system, right, is player development. That's what you're looking for. Baseball needs a minor league system.
Right.
Because you need player development. A 19-year-old kid, very, very few of them can jump right in the majors and hit a major league curveball. So you want to get them in a system where they develop. And when they're 22, 23, they can get to the majors, maybe 20, 21. You know, rare talents, of course, but that's the overall process. Now, if you're a kid, there'll be a few exceptions to, hey, I want to make money right away. But doesn't college football, especially with NIL, open up an economic opportunity to be a one? I mean, who wouldn't want to play at Alabama, right? Who wouldn't want to play at these major schools? Like college football, there is,
they would fight this as well because you're now taking money off their plate.
Well, in this regard, yes. If
right?
you're talking
because
about.
Because what the Notre Dame president and athletic director were saying was, you know, hey, when these kids get out of high school, and this was their foundation of it as well, was some of these kids don't want to go to school, but they have to. Even in football, they have to. They're not college students. So there would be a nice alternative for them.
That's a good point.
Place to go to.
Yep.
So they don't have to go to college instead of just going to college and using it as a vocational school.
No, that's a great point because at least a young basketball, like Bronny James, could go play
right.
in the CB, like in the G League, right? He doesn't have to play at UCLA for 1 year. He can go to the G League and be there for 1 year when he graduates, right? He has an option. You're right. Bryce Young doesn't have an option, right? Or I'm just thinking of him off the top of my
right.
head.
No, he doesn't.
Multiply. Like Arch Manning doesn't have an option.
Yeah, Arch Manning
has to go do something for 3 years.
Arch Manning is actually, that's a good example because if there was and I'm using air quotes here, an NFL minor league, he could probably go into that minor league system and start to develop.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, you know, the other thing they're pointing out is like a lot of these high school kids are pro ready, even in football.
Some of them are, but very, very few.
No, some of them are, right.
Very few.
But,
like, if you look at a picture of a freshman at Alabama, and then give me the senior at Alabama, and they are two totally different people.
Right. But that's why you had the minor league again, because, you know, that freshman, he doesn't care about college. So just go ahead and, you know, he just wants to play football anyway, see what he can do with his life.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not bad. For me, economically, the NFL, I think they would go, that's a $500 million to start. Like, that's like, and then we got to, and how many minor leagues make it? Like, minor league baseball makes it because the teams are like, we'll pay the contracts. But how many times do you hear about the Saskatchewan Riders? They're like, oh, they folded. They're no longer around anymore.
Or not only that, but I mean,
like the Elizabethtown Pirates, gone,
right?
I think having a baseball team, a minor league baseball team, is a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's crappy buses and Motel 6s, yeah. Right? Like, and four to a room. So
right, and less players.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, there's like 20 players on a minor league team. 25
fascinating
players.
Good. Fascinating good. All right. Do we have time?
I'm hoping there's a little bit more to develop.
We're going to talk about that because I think that's.
Well, we can do the bad real quick, and the dumb is probably its own segment.
All right,
anyway.
So, we'll save it over.
So, but the bad real quick is the NCAA strikes again, picking on the NCAA. They suspended Ferris State head coach Tony Adonese.
Okay.
One playoff game.
Really?
Because some of his players lit up cigars celebrating their Division II national title.
So. He can't coach Ferris State. Okay, yeah, is this Ferris, football or basketball?
Football.
Football, okay.
So this happened back in January.
Year.
Ferris State is a Division II title. Now, here's where the rub is, okay? Because we've had, you know, Joe Burrow famously smoking a cigar in the locker room.
Sure.
You know, nothing happened to
there's nothing illegal about smoking cigars. It's not like they were underage drinking.
Now, this is where the rub is because the Division II national title game that Ferris State was in was held in a high school stadium.
Where
smoking is prohibited, and you can clearly see some of these kids, you know, when they gathered on the field for the big team celebratory photo holding the trophy and the banner, you can see that one of the kids is holding a cigar.
So the Division II National Championship was played at a high school stadium?
Yeah, now it's played in a high school stadium in Texas, which is
like an NFL stadium, right? Okay.
The high school stadium that my son's high school plays in was ridiculous. The first time I walked in there, I was like, you've got to be, you know what, me.
That's insane. But at the same time, I hate to say this, but at the same time, they shouldn't be in a high school stadium.
No, they shouldn't be.
Find another college place to go
to. It's a Division II title game.
Keep it in the, like, find another school somewhere in the country that has a stadium like that college.
And then the thing
you can
that,
find them.
The thing
go
that
to Texas
me.
State or something. I don't care if you want to be in Texas.
But the other thing that bothered me was that why are you suspending them a playoff game?
Right. So when they get to the playoffs next year,
He can't coach.
But if they don't make the playoffs, whenever you get to the playoffs again?
I don't know. Again, it's like, the NCAA, probably.
Since you're the defending champs, you'll probably be in it again. And when we are, we'll be ready to take you down.
Right.
For that opening game.
What if it's like 5 years from now?
Good Lord.
Hey, 5 years ago, you remember we set this rule? You can't coach this game.
All right. We will have the dumb coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony Deed Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so we have got the dumb remaining in the good, the bad, and the dumb, correct?
Yes.
That's right.
And
so
you probably saw this story, and you might even have it in, you might be going to talk about it later, but we're going to talk about it right now.
Go ahead.
And it's, you remember Manti Te'o?
Yes.
How do we? Why am I even asking if you remember Manti Te'o?
Yes.
I saw his
documentary on Netflix.
Yeah. Remember how he was catfished?
Yeah. It was one of the strangest stories I've seen in sports.
This is one that kind of ranks up there. Okay. Right.
Okay.
Because the NFL had to issue a statement to all 32 NFL teams. That they shall not be doing business with a man named Ken Francis.
And because Ken Francis is saying he's the agent for Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
Right.
But he is not a licensed NFL Players Association agent. And even Lamar Jackson says, I have no idea who this guy is.
I was thinking about this morning, watching this story unfold. Now, I've never been a negotiator for an NFL team or an agent for an NFL team. But what are they talking about in terms of, okay, so let's say I'm the general manager of the Commanders and this guy sends me information am I not going to do some vetting just to be like, don't they do that anyway? Just do they just take everybody's word for it when they say they represent a player?
NFL
is saying, look, we all get it. You're not going to fall for the old banana in the tailpipe. You're going
to. That's where I'm trying to figure out.
You know what I mean? But we're just making sure, right? We don't think any of you are going to be thinking, you're not going to be making a deal on the phone with a guy and sending money and all this. Like, you're not going to be wiring a guy a check. But we just want to make sure you guys are on the up and up. Like, what is the reason? What is the worry about this guy? What do they think will happen to teams if they fall for this? Right?
Or, you know, is this, I was trying to rationalize. I'm trying to do the same thing you are, like trying to figure out, like, why is it so bad that Ken Francis is calling people?
What is Ken Francis doing that warrants an NFL memo?
Right.
Right? Because didn't he say he doesn't speak for Lamar Jackson, but is he secretly saying, but yeah, I kind of represent Lamar Jackson, wink, wink. And they're like, no, you don't. And he's like, nah, I do. And then they don't want to. I don't think you do.
You know, did Lamar Jackson actually reach out to him and go, hey, man, just I want to know which teams, how serious teams are.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
All right, so the story
of Lamar Jackson, I mean, this is the problem with representing yourself. It isn't, you know, negotiating just with the team that you're on.
Right.
If it was just that, that's fine. But now Lamar Jackson's at a point where he probably needs an agent to go around and call other teams.
He does.
And go, hey, how serious are you? Because you expect Lamar Jackson to go, hey, you know, calling up the Jets or calling up the Browns, going, hey, how serious are you about me?
That's why you have an agent. I mean, I can't tell you why. There are a million reasons why this is a dumb move for a player to represent themselves. People
right.
always kind of praise it. Because, like, he's so smart. It's not about intelligence. It's about having somebody do the work you don't want to do. That's what they do, right? So you're 100% correct. The agent is supposed to be the one. And we all saw Jerry Maguire, so we know how it works, right?
Yep.
They're the one that is supposed to go, what can you do for me? What can you do for my client? You know my client does this, this, and this. Don't lowball me. Don't be like that. You know and I know that you need the guy that's doing that or the gal that's doing that. You don't need to be there yourself. And you're right. In this situation, how does Lamar Jackson spend his time playing off each other? Because that's what happens. That's why Drew Rosenhaus is successful, because he can take an offer from the Eagles and just twist it enough to go, Cardinals, if you want my guy, this is what it is.
I mean, I just can't see Lamar Jackson right now wanting, not even willing, but just wanting to call up the Texans and go, hey, Texans, what would you give up for me?
Exactly.
That's not your role, because then the Texans are like, well, what do you think you're worth? And he doesn't have that negotiation tactic.
You need a guy in the room that is willing to look at an NFL team and say, my client is the yin and the yang. He is the sun and the moon. He is everything and everything that will ever be. Like, you need a guy to turn you into a god. And if you don't have the ability to do that yourself, let the agent do it. Like, let the agent, like, an agent can go 15 touchdowns, like, well, 20 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Guess what? I'm going to take those 13 interceptions, I'm going to divide it by half, then I'm going to do the square root, then I'm going to divide it by 7, and then I'm going to account for snow, and then I'm going to account for wind, and guess what? You only threw 2. Right? That's what an agent is supposed to do. The agent is supposed to take your Jackson Pollock and turn it into a Mona Lisa. That's what he does. And you can't do it yourself, because they know directly who you are, right? They know exactly what kind of person you are. But you need a guy that walks in and says, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then you need to, there's a kind of a way of, when you are making a movie, right, and you're selling a movie, you don't just want a movie that people will be happy to go to. You need to make a movie that people are afraid to miss. That's the deal. So a player's agent turns a player into, oh, he'd be a nice player to add, into a, if we don't get him, we're doomed. That's what you're trying to do. And you have to be able to read a room. You have to be able to read people. And you have to be sleazy sometimes. That's kind of the nature of the whole thing. And if you're a player that doesn't have that reputation, then you can't win this battle. So reading this article, it says that he was a business partner of Lamar Jackson. So it says here, Francis said he's business partners with Jackson on portable gym equipment, yeah. And that's the extent of their business dealings. He stressed that Jackson handles his own football matters, though he has people in his circle that he might consult. So here's what I feel like is happening here, and I don't know the full extent of this story. The NFL is saying, don't talk to this guy, Francis. What's his first name?
Ken.
Ken Francis. Don't talk to Ken Francis. And Ken Francis is saying, yeah, there's no reason to talk to me. And like, yeah, just don't talk to him. He's like, yeah, I have no reason why you'd want to talk to me in the first place.
Do you think it's the NFL trying to stick it to Lamar saying,
is that what they're doing?
You can't, don't try to use him. And Lamar and Ken are going, we're not.
Exactly. So to me, I'm like, I don't know why the NFL is feeling the need to single this guy out unless the NFL is like, stop lying. You are trying to represent Lamar Jackson. We've got four teams that say that you've contacted them.
Well, because here's the deal, right? There's one thing we know about this is about with Lamar Jackson and his contract coming up, because we know he's going to get one.
Right.
I think the NFL wants this done quickly, because they want to get rid of the idea, or they want to get rid of the one person who's really holding out for a fully guaranteed contract.
A huge
fully guaranteed contract. Because we've been saying it all along. The Browns did it. All the owners hate the Browns. You know, and especially giving it to Deshaun Watson, because you kind of cracked open Pandora's box. You didn't swing it wide open, but you cracked it open. And like you've said countless times, you don't want to be the second team, because then you're validating and you're creating a trend.
You've created the standard, right?
Yeah. And so you don't want to do that. Is the NFL trying to like almost run his name through the mud a little bit?
Maybe so. Now, my question would be, is Mr. Francis, is he... like he says he does business dealings with Lamar, but is he a registered agent?
He's not a registered agent.
Okay, so he's not a registered. So
that's why they said don't, he's not.
Okay.
Yeah, he is.
This makes more sense.
Yeah, he's prohibited from negotiating offer sheets and potential trades with individuals not certified by the NFLPA. That's what the NFL is not allowed to do. Any team that does can be fined $54,409, which is a weird amount.
So this yeah, exactly. Why is a weird amount?
Like, why not just go 54,000 or 55,000? Why is it 54,409?
Is this similar to like McDonald's, not to like pick on them, but like McDonald's corporate sending out a memo to all their franchisees, like, make sure you abide by all the labor laws and pay your taxes.
Right. Maybe.
Like, we all probably doing that anyway. But we as a corporation have to remind you to make sure you pay your taxes and make sure you don't have a 13-year-old flipping burgers at 12 o'clock at night.
Or when they send out the memo that, you know, once a month, hey, guys, the memo is that the ice cream machines are broken again.
They're broken again, yeah. Make sure the ice cream machines are broken again.
They'll keep coming back and they'll be wanting more.
Exactly. Because I got a feeling a lot of NFL teams would be like, yeah, we don't do business with people that are not registered in the NFLPA to begin with.
But why
are you reminding us about this?
Just as a reminder, don't do it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
All right. Because it's Lamar Jackson and his fully guaranteed contract.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. It is Wake Up Call.
Through the brackets on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by BlueChew.com. Guys, it's all about confidence, and confidence is what you get with the chewables from BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. And for Sports Map Radio listeners, try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MADNESS at checkout. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MADNESS, to receive your first month free. Now, back to the show.
Look at the way some of those teams played last night with confidence. Confidence knowing you'll be ready to go when your partner is, and confidence knowing you'll be able to go the few extra rounds when needed. Confidence is what you get with the chewables from BlueChew.com. All right, the process, simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com, then you consult with one of their licensed medical providers. Once you're approved, you receive the prescription within days. Best part, it's all done online. It's the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's in the chewable form and a fraction of the cost, and it's delivered in a discreet package right to your home. And if you don't like swallowing pills, no problem, because Blue Chews are chewable. They even have mint flavors. They're tablets that are performance enhancement for the bedroom and can help men gain the extra confidence when it's time to perform. Online prescription service, so there's no visit to the doctor's office and no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Just ships right to your door in a discreet package, as I mentioned before. Tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than the pharmacy. The special deal, try BlueChew.com, and go to BlueChew.com. Try for free when you use the promo code MADNESS at checkout. Just pay $5 for shipping. BlueChew.com, promo code MADNESS. Receive your first month free at BlueChew.com. All right, as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio, NCAA tournament last night, games were fantastic, as we've been talking about this morning. And the Lamar Jackson news is interesting because it's still no deal in place. There's still nobody willing to step up. Now, the funny thing about this is that they got plenty of time. There's plenty of time to go after Lamar Jackson and sort this out. But there hasn't been anybody going, we got you, don't worry, we got a deal for you. We'll talk to you.
But is there really plenty of time? I mean, you'd hope to get something in place by the time the draft comes around, right?
You're making a very, 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 very good point. There are two ways to look at this. One, Lamar Jackson has until middle of July to sign the franchise tag and hold out.
Yeah.
Which is what they do 99.9% of the time if they don't get a deal. So if he doesn't work out a long-term deal with the Ravens, he's got till mid-July. Then he'll sign the franchise tag, and then he'll be like, yeah, and you won't see me again until we get a deal. But you're right. If you are a team that is looking at a possible quarterback, you don't have a long time to figure out how do we get him in. It's like the Jets. People are talking about the length. Oh, this could go on and on and on. The Jets working on a deal with the Packers. Well, if you're the Jets, you don't have until August. So you'd want to get him in for the various mini camps that you can get him into, right? You'd want to get him into whenever it is time for players to come in for a small little gathering, you'd want him on the team. And it's the same thing with Lamar Jackson. But right now, here's where I'm curious as to where this is going. Because Bryce Young had his pro day yesterday, right? And the Carolina Panthers have the number one pick. So the Houston Texans are likely going to take the second quarterback available on the board, right?
Whoever
they don't want. But if you're a team that is now needing a quarterback and you'd rather go through the draft, you got to start playing the game of who's going to be left, who's going to be basically QB3 on the board, and do I want him badly enough to start looking at the teams ahead of me and start making moves to get up there? That's what you're going to see.
Now, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Is Lamar Jackson worth the number one overall pick?
No. I don't think so.
Is he worth the number one overall pick and the Ravens' first rounder?
No. I think the number one draft pick, all right, and again, this is not like Lamar is a real special quarterback, and I think having an established guy is better than having a rookie in one regard. The rookie you're getting with the number one overall pick is somebody you're putting a lot of work into. You're putting a lot of analysis into. You're hearing from all these different people. You're grading that talent on what kind of talent that player has on an NFL level. It's all a crapshoot because as many times as you get an Andrew Luck or a Trevor Lawrence, sometimes you get a Baker Mayfield where a couple years later, he's bouncing around the league looking for a journeyman job. But if you are the Carolina Panthers, what would you rather want in the next 3 years? Overall, the next 3 years, you got rid of Christian McCaffrey, you got rid of DJ Moore, you've stripped it down. Do you want a quarterback on his rookie deal that may be a star because you're in charge of this? You're picking the best one. You're not getting anybody else. You're not being forced to grab whoever's on the board. You're picking the best of the four. that are projected to be number one first round picks. So it's your fault if you don't land this. And then utilizing the resources that you're going to be generating to say, now we're going to give them an offensive line. We're going to build a, we're going to get wide receivers again. We're going to build up the defense again. And then we're going to take this over the next couple of years while he's growing in the position. Because if you get Lamar Jackson, if you went and made that trade, if you're Carolina, then you are expecting to win now. Now, in the division, does Derek Carr worry you enough that if you had Lamar Jackson that you wouldn't win that division outright, right? So there's a, it's sort of this, do you want to play in the swimming pool of, we could get Lamar Jackson, win our division, make the playoffs, but we're hamstrung when it comes to all of these things that we may want to do in terms of building the team, or do we take a kid who's got the future, he's going to be the franchise quarterback, and we're getting him cheap for the next 4 years until we have to work out a deal. Now, am I surprised that Lamar Jackson isn't getting any offers? Not really, because we laid out, I think, six of them. Six main reasons why you wouldn't go after Lamar Jackson. But at the same time, not one is wanting to just kind of test it out a little bit. Not one team is interested in like, well, maybe we should talk to him. Or is he so entrenched in guaranteed deal, don't even come to me with anything else. And maybe, just maybe, that's one of the reasons why he's not having an agent. I can't, I'm not inside his head, so I don't know. Maybe he just, maybe he likes doing this. Because an agent would say, no, we're not going to get it. I'm sorry. You're not. It's like having a lawyer where it's like, I'm not going to jail. And the lawyer's going, listen, I'm your lawyer. I'm trying my best, but you got to do a little jail time. I'm going to keep you out. I'm going to get you, I'll have you in and out in a year. I'll have you in and out in 2 years, but you got to do a little jail time. You need somebody that is telling you the honest truth about where you stand and everything, right? And maybe Lamar Jackson is like, no, I'm hell-bent on this. I'm hell-bent on this principle because it's a larger principle than me, right? I can be satisfied with any of the deals that come at me that are normal quarterback deals, right? You want to come at me with 250, 180 guaranteed, 250, 170 guaranteed, 230, 190 guaranteed. All right, I can live with those. Those would be major milestones. It would be close to a fully guaranteed deal, but they're not. But I'm trying to establish something here that will have a trickle-down effect in the contract negotiations going forward, at least for my position, that would hopefully trickle down to all the other positions in the sport. If he's in that mindset, I don't think an agent could talk him out of it. So maybe he's just bypassing the inevitable, which is it's an awkward conversation that I don't even want to have. I'd rather just do this on my own. Because I got to think Lamar Jackson could work out an easy 240, 160 guaranteed deal with the Ravens.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't sound like it would be all that difficult.
In fact, haven't the Ravens offered that to him?
Yeah, I think the Ravens already made him a big offer that he said no to. So if you're an agent, why would, when your job... when your job as an agent is to get the best deal for your client, but also get the best deal for you, like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be in a position where your client is saying no to everything because it's not fully guaranteed in a world where that league is hell bent on making sure it does not happen again.
Now, I'm certain Lamar is listening to TV, listening to radio, all the sports pundits around there. Do you think it has sunk in that, you know, everyone, I haven't heard one person saying, hey, Lamar, you just keep holding out, man. You will get that guaranteed contract.
That's a great point. In the end, is
no
he not
one is saying that?
Is he willing to give up real money because the principal is not, like, you've just played on your rookie deal. Are you going to be willing to give up real money here over this? We're talking about you playing next year for $40 million.
Yeah.
So what if a percentage of it isn't guaranteed? But again, he's saying, look, I can't live in a world where that guy gets it and I don't. But I would say to him, yeah, but you know what? Joe Burrow is not likely going to get it. Patrick Mahomes didn't get it. Josh Allen didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, don't look at Deshaun Watson and say, it's insulting that I don't get what he gets. Nobody else is getting what he gets.
And no one is saying that you're going to be able to get that.
If Daniel Jones can get $40 million, you can get $45. Just some of it's not guaranteed, my man.
And it's okay.
So maybe he does need that second voice.